Let me pray for us, and then we'll jump in, and John will get us started. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your love and your mercy to us in Jesus. We thank you for a great evening last night here and over at the Wootons. Lord, we pray that in your kindness you would minister to us this morning through your servant John, and that you would bless us, bless our marriages, bless our relationships generally. Lord, we pray that that you would be glorified this morning, that we would know your grace more, and that we would have great hope for what you could do in us, because your Spirit is at work in us. So we pray now that your Spirit would be our teacher and that you bless John as he speaks. We pray through Christ. Amen.
Hey guys, welcome back. The handout is sort of my summary of everything we're talking about, just so you can have it there. Also, you have the phone number there if you want to text me questions anonymously. Also, you have my website there. We're going to look at two of our four groups, four abilities today. There's more. I wish we could do them all, but there's more on the website if you want more of that kind of stuff. I applaud you for being here. I'm kind of covetous for my Saturday mornings, you know, especially a rainy Saturday morning. I need to be shuffling around in my bathrobe making a cappuccino or something. And here you are for your marriage. So, you know, bravo to you. Maybe you see now what I meant last night when I said this would be a different kind of a marriage conference. I'm making this as complicated as it is. Okay. Basically, you know, people are always asking, you know, why are marriages failing and all that? And it's because our culture really doesn't take seriously how complicated these dynamics really are. So there's a lot going on, and I want you to know what is going on, all right? And singles, I want you kind of heads up and knowing what the game is and how this works. You're going to find the ideal, and, you know, I don't want to be Johnny Raincloud or anything, but then it's going to get hard, all right? So what we're talking about here is how to make hard work, all right? But it is complicated. Years ago in our church, we had a men's prayer breakfast, and we had a marriage expert come and speak, and he spoke for like a couple of hours with all this technicality about the ins and outs of the marital dyad and the meta dimensions of the communication network, and he goes on and on and on and on. And finally, he's done, and he closes in prayer, and then that little brief silence after you say amen and before people push the chairs back, there's this old elder in our church. This guy's like, you know, old as Alabama, man. And in that little moment of silence, he just says, loud enough for everyone to hear it, he says, "I'm just glad I got married before it got so complicated." So I do apologize for making it complicated. All right, we talked last night about what you need to have ticking in you to have a good marriage. We have to have abilities in those areas. And we said they were the four I's. Intimacy and connection and closeness, or also trust. The understanding of identity. Can I be me? But also, can I bend the knee and have submission and humility and have a lot of room for you? Imperfection. Can I deal with how much the fallen world hurts, or how much you hurt me sometimes? Can I forgive myself? Can I take in grace about my own failings? Can I be as humble and open as many of you were last night? And impulse control. Can I manage my emotional world to have a feeling and look at it rather than just acting? And mostly having a repentant, open heart. Because if you can't do any of these, you're not going to go anywhere until you can go, gee, I can't do any of these. That's just the gospel, okay? So basically, we were saying that we struggle in our relationships or our dating or our marriage not because our spouse or our boyfriend is just a jerk, but we're all lacking these abilities that we have to make life work and to make relationship work. I hope that makes more sense now than it did the first time I said it early last night. Actually, this is the case for all of life to work, you know? I mean, how are you going to get do a job, a career successfully if you can't risk failing? Or how's your obedience to God going to go if you can't do submission. This is going to affect every area of our lives. And like I told you last night, a lot of symptomology comes out of missing these character pieces, in my view. So we're going to look at two of them in more detail here this morning. Intimacy, and the issue of identity. So basically, remember I told you that the two big hallmarks of a relationship are intimacy and mutuality. So we're going to look at kind of A and B today. Can we be close, and yet can we both still matter? All right. So let's start off with the intimacy here. You know, I mean, if you're going to be married, you know, I don't know, might want to learn about being emotionally close. Call me crazy. Now, guys get a real, you know, stereotypical hassle about this whole emotional intimacy thing. Though, like I told you last night, it's not always the guy. But this joke sort of communicates the position us guys are often in regarding intimacy. This little boy and this little girl are playing, and she says, "Hey, Johnny, do you want to play house?" And he says, "Yeah, sure, I want to play house. What do you want me to do?" And she said, "I want you to intimately communicate your feelings. That's what I want you to do." And he says, "I have no idea what you're talking about." And she says, "Perfect, you can be the husband." Yeah, and you ladies want romance and poetry and a guy's, you know, favorite hobbies are things like committing to relationships or, you know, growing to improve himself. But if you end up with a Southern boy, you're dealing with somebody whose ultimate means of expressing emotional endearment might be spray painting your name on an overpass. You know, that's sort of how we really tell you we care, you know. So this is difficult. But this intimacy thing that we're about to talk about is what marriage is for. You know, naked and not ashamed, remember? That's where we began all of this. That's what intimacy means, naked and not ashamed. Remember, you see real me and it's good. That's the goal here. That's what naked and not ashamed means, is safe at last, known by you. All right, so we're made for this. I think it's so much of what heaven will be about because it's so much what we were created for. Connection, belonging, together. As somebody asked C.S. Lewis, will we know each other in heaven? And he said, we won't know each other until we get to heaven. Mm-hmm. And what he was talking about was, at last, you know, the shell's going to fall off and you'll see my heart. That's intimacy, all right? So when God says it's not good for the man to be alone, that's not just the invention of marriage. It's the invention of connection. It's the invention of relationship. So we're going to talk this morning about what God calls abiding, what shrinks call emotional closeness, what we called last night, can I let you in, can I keep you in? We're going to be expanding that. And here's a little freebie. Though we're going to be applying that to marriage, this issue of emotional connection is a fundamental piece to emotional health, spiritual health in general, okay? Secret of the universe. The parts of us, the parts of you that live alone, that live in secret, that live disconnected from other people, that live in the dark, will get worse. Okay? Parts of us that aren't known, parts of us that are alone, never get better. All right? It's kind of like putting a plant in a closet. It's not getting light, it's not getting water, and it's going to start to fade. Well, any parts of us that stay hidden out of the light, not confessed, for some reason, God made us, if we're disconnected from relationships with other humans, those parts get worse. Now, flip that over, and God made us to thrive once we get connected back into a relationship, all right? As we said last night, that's one of the reasons therapy works, and it's one of the reasons that the body of Christ is so fundamental, because if alone parts of us can get connected back to life, back to relationship, back to being known again, that will heal us, that will change us, and the pain goes away too, all right? But that's another show. Or Q&A, okay? I just wanted to say that, because we're going to be talking about intimacy as this thing in a romantic relationship, marriage and dating, it's kind of a human issue, all right? So, let's talk about intimacy. We're going to look at three different things about it. Number one, we're going to look kind of at levels of it, what it is, what it's not, just so we're all on the same page here, all right? Number two, we're going to look at some of the dances, dynamics, ways we can struggle with intimacy and what that happens with two people in a relationship. And then we're going to talk about sort of some ways you can grow there. So, number one, what do we mean when we talk about intimacy? I was just thinking one year, you know, people are always talking about intimacy in relationship or communicating in the marriage, and like, what does that really mean, you know? Well, to understand what intimacy is and where we're actually going with this, it's helpful to realize that it sort of comes at different levels. There's sort of different concentric circles of it. It's kind of like emotional connection. Intimacy is like talking about being rich, right? It's a relative term. Being rich in Westlake and being rich in Laredo are kind of different things, all right? Same, emotionally close is different to different people. When one spouse says, I really want to know you, and to the spouse, they're like, well, then I want you to really know I like light starch in my shirts. We got a problem here in this relationship, okay? So we got to know what intimacy is and what it's not so we're on the same page. So, number one level of intimacy, I call drive-through level, because this is the level of intimacy in which you say things like, would you like fries with that, okay? In other words, this is sort of the level of intimacy where you just cross paths with people, push two on the elevator, how you doing, fine, okay? If this describes the depth of your romantic relationship, please see me after class, all right? Now, number two is new sports and weather is what I call it, because that's what it is. This is where we chit-chat. This is what we did coming in, okay? This is like, what do you think about the, you know, Olympics? Or, wow, what about all those snowstorms? Or, oh my gosh, have you heard about so-and-so? Get it? New sports and weather, all right? And every relationship begins there some. That's kind of how our culture does. All relationships go there some. I think this is legit. You got to be able to do superficial just to kind of get along, you know. I had a friend in California when I was in school, and she couldn't do superficial. It's like, it was almost like a Seinfeld character. She was always fully open, you know. And you'd like say, hey, Sally, how's it going? She'd be, well, actually, I've been feeling a lot of despair. And you're like, back at you, man. See you later. It's like, yeah, what am I supposed to do with this? You know? So, new sports and weather is great. You know, we got to do that. But if you stay there and that's all you do, you'll be well informed and you'll know all the scoop, but you'll be superficial. Now, think, some marriages do settle into this. Actually, more they settle back into it. In other words, this is kind of the roommate phenomenon where, you know, all you talk about is what you did at work today and how are the kids and, you know, have you heard of the latest scandal about so-and-so or whatever. And those folks have given up at some level, all right? Let's not give up. Next level. We got any Elvis fans here besides Steve? You know, what does TCB mean? Taking care of business. Actually, I always wanted to change it to TCBB. Taking care of business, baby. All right? But, you know, Elvis and his entourage, when they were trying to get something done, you know, Elvis wanted it done, and there'd be TCB Elvis, and they'd be taking care of business. So this is where we live practically with friends or coworkers or your spouse. This is where you solve problems. Your ideas, your thoughts. I like the food at Joe T's. Are we staying within our budget? Should we get that used car? You know, in other words, let me solve this problem for you. Let me give you my opinion on it. This is Martha in the Bible working, doing. This is what I'm doing right now. You know, this is what Brian did to get us started. This is probably where you spend most of your time. Okay, this one's very legit, okay? If this was a talk on being practical, we'd stand for the benediction at this point, okay? We're done, all right? Because you got to make life work. So TCB is useful and necessary. But as we alluded to last night, if TCB is all that you can do, your life's going to run like a sewing machine, and you're going to handle problems and do life, and people are going to like you. And this is more intimate than anything we've gotten so far. This is your ideas and your solutions, okay? But this is as deep as you can go in a relationship in terms of your heart. It's actually going to be sadder than, you know, that scene where they lock up Dumbo's mother, all right? Because there'll be this real sense in which people don't ever really know you, okay? And this still isn't your deepest heart. And this is a talk on intimacy. And marriage needs intimacy, okay? In other words, think about it. Adam had meaningful work to do in the garden, and God looks at that and sees that he has no intimacy with other people, and he says, just work, no intimacy, not good. All right, we got to get some human contact in there, all right? Which leads us to level four. God calls it abiding, so will I. Now this is going to be a target. This is something you need to have in your marriage. You need to have this in order to be healthy emotionally if you're not married. Being able to go to a depth level in your heart. Y'all felt it last night for me when I was talking about my brother. I went to level four like that. You felt it. Okay, you need that to be alive. All right? This is kind of Jedi level. All right? This is where you get strong enough, actually, in your soul, in your heart, to sort of give up needing to be, you know, Steve McQueen or Gwyneth Paltrow or whoever, you know, people who don't need anything and got it all together, right? And actually be the person you are with the person that you're with. This is let you in from last night. This is where you get to look in someone's eyes and know they really know you. And those eyes know some garbage about me, but those eyes love me, okay? You don't get that at any other level. You have to be known for that to happen, okay? Here's another way of saying it. Everybody's got a true self, okay? Now, what I mean by that is sort of real you, like non-chameleon you, you know? You when you're by yourself. Chris Rock says, when somebody's first meeting you, he says, they ain't meeting you. They're meeting your representative. Somebody sent ahead to make you look good. All right? So true self means not that guy. All right? True self means, you know, real you. Who I am when I'm by myself. How I feel about my life. What it's like to be me. excuse me. Now, all abiding is your true experience of your life shared with someone. Okay? So think about it even superficially. What do you feel when you wake up in the morning? You all probably said, wow, I stayed at that party too long. All right? In other words, what comes to your mind? You think, oh, it's only Monday. Oh, I got to go to work. Oh, I hope traffic's not bad. Oh, but that report's not due to Thursday. That's good. But I have a fun lunch with so-and-so today. You have a subjective experience inside of what you experience about your life coming. Okay? Do you hear the me that's communicated there? Okay? That's you. All right? Everyone shake hands with you. All right? Now, TCBers. That's what I'm going to call you here at that level. Elvis, listen to me. This is why your spouse wants to, quote, talk to you about your day, all right, when you get home. Not because they're secretly writing the life story of John L. Cox, but because your experience of your day is, you know, emotionally and subjectively is your heart. It's you. It's what it's like to be you. In other words, what they're wanting to know is, what was it like to be you today? Okay? They're not wanting to go over every meeting. You're wanting to forget or, you know, try to make you replay it all. They just want to know what it felt like to be you today. That's intimacy, okay? All right, that's easy. That's just superficial. All right, let's go a little bit deeper. Your real heart. There are things that we feel, all right, like vulnerable or tender or meaningful or scared. Can we share those? Not just my experience in my day, can I also share something more vulnerable in my heart? Love, sadness, joy. I'm going to illustrate it for you, okay? I'm going to tell you the same story, TCB version and level four abiding version. My daughter Bonnie is now a nurse married in Charleston. But when she was in Jackson, she went through nursing school. And then she finished nursing school, and lo and behold, my office is in an office building connected with Baptist Hospital. Lo and behold, she gets a job at Baptist Hospital. And so I'm walking through the lobby of the hospital one day, and there's this, you know, nurse standing, walking in front of me. It turns out it's Bonnie. Oh my gosh, here she is at the hospital. All right, is that real meaningful to y'all? Okay, you got the story though, right? All right, let's go level four. I love Bonnie. She struggled in school. It's like she used a dry erase marker and would write her notes on the mirror in her bathroom so she could learn them for the test. And it was like we prayed our way through nursing school. And she graduates. And lo and behold, she gets a job at my hospital, which is exciting. But one day I'm walking through the lobby And in front of me is this little blonde nurse. And I don't pay any attention to it because they're all little blonde nurses. You know? It's like Oompa Loompas. They're all just, you know, they're everywhere. You know? Anyway, I don't know why, but suddenly she just stopped and she turned around and it was Bonnie. Oh my gosh. With all of her little jangly little badges and stuff. It was so sweet. All right, that's my heart. You feel the difference? Good. Heads nod. Good. All right. So can I share my heart with you what it feels like to be me? All right? That's what I just did with Bonnie. That's all intimacy is. You guys know me better now. All right? It's nothing spooky and psychological. We're not rolling chicken bones here. I'm just bringing you what it feels like to be me. All right? God said we are created for this. It's in our hardware to do it. You know, in our culture, people go like, oh, well, you know, that's kind of that touchy-feely stuff. Like, it's an option, you know? No, God created us to do this. I did this small group training thing at a church in Atlanta, sort of teaching leaders how to do a small group and how to do the kind of stuff we're talking about. And so one of the leaders is talking to one of his friends who's from Africa. And tell him about the group and how we're learning about emotional connection and what all that means. And the African guy, he comes back and tells us, this African guy goes, wait a minute, you have a class on how to love? Do you also have a class on how to eat? I'm like, exactly, welcome to the United States of America. So this is a class on how to love, all right? It's not good for the man to be alone. Let's talk about feelings for just a minute, because a lot of this is about feelings. You heard me talk about feelings, and feelings sort of get a bad name in evangelical Christianity, sometimes legitimately so. Y'all remember the old Campus Crusade track? Y'all are probably too young. There was a train, and it had the engine was fact, and the little car was faith, and the caboose was feeling. Okay, because the facts are the most important, and you know, nobody really needs a caboose. It can kind of come or go, and the train's fine. And what they were basically saying was legit. Because, you know, there's a sense in which our faith is fact-based. God is real regardless of how you feel about it, and we protect that, right? And in regard to fact-based decisions, like is God real or is that truck going to hit me, how I feel about it doesn't really make much difference, okay? So we often denigrate how important feelings are. But relationally speaking, we got a horse of a different color. This is a marriage conference, not the Council of Chalcedon. What about feelings and relationships, all right? Relationally speaking, what you feel is the core of who you are in a relationship, okay? In other words, if we had a discussion after a group meeting here about some non-emotional topic, like, you know, when to change your oil or whatever, you wouldn't remember it very long. But if I insulted you, if I criticized you, if I was unkind to you, you'd remember that a long time. Okay? If I hurt your feelings, you know, they'll say 2 years from now, we'll get him back into a parenting conference. Your first thought's going to be, you won't believe what that guy said to me like 2 years ago. All right? Why? Because I wounded you. I hurt your feelings. Okay? To have a relationship in which hearts matter, how people feel has to be a respected part of that. Okay? I was seeing a couple once, and she walks in the door ahead of him, and she's already crying. And she turns around and plops onto the couch, and she's already crying. And she goes, he hurt me so much. He said I was fat. And I look at him. He's a total TCB guy. Actually, worse than that. He was kind of more of this logical brainiac. You know, like I think he had built his own positron collider in the backyard. You know, it was like one of those guys, you know. And he looks at me sort of confused and says, well, she is, isn't she? And I'm like, vaya con Dios, Jose. You know, it's like, good night, Vienna. And he was totally not connected to what it felt like to be a person, how, you know, people hurt or how people need or how people are vulnerable and compassion and safety and all of that. So that's intimacy too. Can I hear you? All right? Can I tune into what it's like to be? This is what we mean when we talk about empathy. Empathy means can I try on your heart, what it feels like to be you. Could you feel my feelings about about Bonnie when I was just telling you the second story? Could you feel that? You felt last night. I saw some of y'all tear up when I was talking about Mark, my brother. Like, you felt that. Good. You get it. That's empathy. Okay? If you're like, instead, kind of like going, you know, big deal, dude, brother, whatever. All right? Get that checked on. All right? But if you felt something, if you felt a connection, then you're tuning into empathy. That's what I'm talking about. One of the deepest ways to be loving in a relationship is to be able to try on someone else's heart. Norma's mother is very, very ill. And a few months back, she was just looking really down. And I just said to her, I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "I'm depressed." And I thought about what she'd been dealing with, and I said, "Of course you are. I mean, your mom, your mom. I mean, and you're constantly over there, and it never seems to get better. It seems to be worse, and your phone's ringing all the time, and there doesn't seem to be any answers. Of course you're depressed." And she started to cry. Why? Because her heart got understood. All right? That's just empathy. I get you. I hear you. Now, that is food. That is nourishment in our souls. All right? That is what real love looks like when we can do that. In other words, we call it empathy. The great psychologist called it love your neighbor as yourself. All right? So, intimacy, abiding, hearing who you are, not rocket surgery. Now, but, however, often when I talk about this whole type of intimacy, people get kind of squirrely, kind of squirmy, like, why is it? I mean, we're created for this, right? Naked and not ashamed, right? God made us to live in the light and connection, right? It's what we need the most, right? Why do we avoid this? Why aren't we all just like, "Wee, know my heart"? Okay? Why do we run from this? Anyone? Anyone?
It doesn't always work.
Why? What happens?
You can get hurt.
Right. Rule number one. Well, think about it like this. Before the fall, the Bible makes this very clear that Adam and Eve were naked and not ashamed. Right. Why does it say that? Well, because it's weird. Okay? In other words, the rest of us, when we're naked, we are ashamed. So the Bible is in essence going, you want to hear something weird? They were naked and not ashamed. Try that on. All right? In other words, it makes that point because it's not safe. And in fact, as we will talk tomorrow at church, God makes His children clothes. It's not safe to be naked anymore. This is a very vulnerable thing to do, and we can get hurt doing it. And frankly, I don't want you to know me. I want you to think I'm 10 feet tall, good looking, and bulletproof. Okay? And that's kind of how we live. As we said last night, this is one of the problems of the human race. The thing we long for the most in the universe is love. And the thing we're most afraid of in the universe is the vulnerability of love. Okay? This is one of the reasons that marriage is so hard. Because we all fear exposure. And we fear shame. We fear being hurt. And marriage throws the most vulnerable parts of us out into the open. And my wife knows all of it. And I'm not sure I really like that. I'm not really sure I want her to. Okay? This is why affairs are sometimes appealing, at least the superficial kind of affairs. You know, people say, you know, "I love Trixie because she understands me." And I kind of want to go, no, your wife understands you. She knows you're a jerk. The truth is that you love Trixie because she doesn't understand you. She thinks you're wonderful. Okay? In other words, I can live not so vulnerable by somebody who doesn't really know me. So real relationships were going to get hurt, or at least humbled would be the positive side of that. Another reason we don't want to go often is that we weren't ever taught this. Like the question... question last night about, you know, how do we learn this? This is not something we're taught very often. We grew up sometimes in families in which nobody's really interested in anything below the surface. It's kind of keep it to yourself. Or mom's drinking dominates the family. Or dad's anger makes everybody hide, whatever. And we never learned this strange category of sharing your heart with somebody else. Years and years ago, Norma and I were at a restaurant, and as we're sitting there, this family of four comes in, sits down at a four-top, Mom, Dad, Billy, and Sis, and they all, the moment they sit in, they pull out books, and they sit there at the table, all four of them reading. And the waitress comes and brings their menu, and they look up, they get the menu, they obviously decide what it is they want, and they go back to their books. And the waitress comes, and they all look up and speak to the waitress and tell her what they want for dinner, and then she leaves, and they go back to their books. And then their dinner comes, and as they read, they all sit there and eat as they read their books. Norm and I were spellbound. You know, we were like ordering more desserts. Like, you know, like, what's going to happen? You know, they're going to ever acknowledge one another here, you know? And I just couldn't help but think, I mean, I put that in this talk because it's like, I always wonder, like, Billy's probably married now, you know? Like, what is his category for intimacy? You know, his wife's going to be, Billy, where are you? And he's like, page 32, what, you know? It's like, this guy will have no category for intimacy, okay? So, a lot of reasons that intimacy is hard, but we're created for it, it's core to us. It's important that we kind of resist that difficulty. So, T.C. Beer, what your abiding spouse is saying when they want you to hear their feelings is that for level four people, what we feel is kind of the deepest part of who we are. And if we care about building that part of our relationship, we need to see that as valid. Now, another caveat, feelings are not always going to make sense. You T.C. Beers, when you hear us abiders, sometimes you're going to go, what? Like, sometimes they're just dead wrong, you know? But we got to hear them anyway. One time in the middle of the night, Norma wakes me up. It's like, she's like, pounds on my shoulder. And I'm like, what? She goes, I'm mad at you. Like, it's the middle of the night. She goes, I just had this dream. We're riding through the desert. And you just drove off and left me there. And I'm like, well, go back to sleep. I'll come pick you up. I mean, what am I supposed to do with that? What? So feelings aren't always going to make sense, but they're the deepest part of me, okay? And T.C. Beers have a point. I have this guy who's T.C. Beer, and they're working with their marriage, and he's really working on his T.C.B. thing. Quit trying to fix her feelings. Quit trying to solve her problems. Just hear her. So he comes down one morning to work, and she's like getting the kids breakfast and all that, and she's like, oh, honey, I just went out and the car's got a flat on it. I don't know what happened. And he said, I really care about your feelings about the car. I'm going to work. That was a joke. He actually did help with the car. But it's like, I know you don't want me to solve your problems for you, but I'm going to hear your feelings. I think this whole abiding thing is the number one foundation for sexuality, too, by the way. In my office, 99% of the people who come to me to talk to me about dissatisfying sex lives, the problem lies here in the intimacy or also the identity part of their relationship, not the, quote, sexual part. Excuse me. I've never understood sex therapy. To me, that's like being a fever doctor, you know? Let's don't treat the symptom, let's treat the heart, all right? Bottom line, I tell people, is sexuality should just be the expression physically of the emotional intimacy that you're having, okay? That's why the department stores call it intimate wear, okay? So ultimately, sex is sort of a language. This is one of the ways I like to talk about it. Sex is a language. Sex is a language of intimacy, okay? A language to that oneness that's sort of so belonging that words don't cut it. All right? It's like this. God, once God created man and woman and love, he kind of had a problem. And that is, he had created something ineffable. He had created something of such beauty and wonder and depth that words can't cut it. There isn't enough English language to speak of the depth of what the love between a man and a woman should look like and feel like. So he created sex to kill about three birds with one stone. Give delight, make babies, and communicate an intimacy that nothing else in the world will, okay? This is one of the reasons you singles, this is one of the reasons that sex before marriage or sex outside of marriage is not just destructive, that it doesn't make any sense. Because sex is a language that says, how in the world could I possibly communicate my oneness and my belonging to you? Ah, here's a way. How do you do that with multiple people? Okay? And the more you use it with multiple people, the more you're scattering the sharp point of that language and thickening it and diluting it to where it loses its power. So sex is this language that reflects our hearts. And if your relationship doesn't have anything powerful to communicate there, then it's going to be kind of a boring conversation, if you get my drift, all right? So TC Beers, this is why your emotionally connected spouse can look at you like you're crazy. If you've been distant emotionally all day and then say, hey, let's get frisky, all right? To them, it's like you've said, I left the United States. You know, I don't get into that whole patriotism thing. I kneel at the national anthem. But hey, let's have a big 4th of July party tonight. And they're like, wait a minute, I don't get it. 4th of July is to celebrate America. I thought you left America. I mean, like, I hadn't heard from you all day. You know, you've been watching TV. And TC Beer's like, yeah, that's true, but I just like fireworks and hot dogs. Let's go. What's your problem? You know? And to them, you're wanting like the ultimate expression of intimacy without the intimacy, and that can feel kind of kooky to them. All right? On the other hand, abiders, sex is also a language of fun, which TC Beers get. It doesn't always have to be deep and meaningful. Sometimes it's just a blast, so don't knock it till you tried it. So there's kind of room for growth for both of you, okay? Here's another, by the way. At this point, often, couples who are in the trenches, kind of y'all's age, always ask me, yeah, that intimacy stuff, that's awesome and great, but like, man, our lives are so crazy now. You know, with kids and ball games and, you know, we just don't have the bandwidth to stop and get all connected, you know? Good question. Couple of answers. Number one, you're right. Let's see. There's some way that I can write on this. Oh well, I'll write in the air. I read a research study when I was in grad school that I've never forgotten. And it was graphing marital satisfaction over the lifespan of the marriage. And of course, I'm going to do the graph so y'all can see it. It starts out high. You know, you get married, marital satisfaction is good. And then you have kids and you start real life and the marital satisfaction drops down like this. And it sits down around here for a while you have kids and do life and all that. And then as empty nest comes, it comes back up here and you have the life satisfaction again. I can vouch for it. It's great. All right. So I always call that when I would do parenting conferences or whatever, it's like that's you're living right now in the bottom of the U. You know? It's like you're in the bottom of the U. So I'd see friends at church and they'd be dragging their kids in and I'd be, hey guys, how are y'all? And they'd go, we're in the bottom of the U. You know? You're in the bottom of the U, all right? So yeah, legitimately, you don't have the bandwidth for this kind of connection with all that's going on in your life. Yes, that's true in a sense. But number two, answer number two, intimacy is not about date night, okay? Intimacy is knowing that you know my heart and I know yours. So yeah, find time to be together, hire babysitters, go on the getaway weekend, have a date night. Look for the times to try to carve out for you, yes. But some of the deepest connection I've ever had, intimacy I've ever had in my marriage, has been like across the gurney in an ER when they're setting my daughter's broken leg. You know, and my eyes meet her eyes and we're both scared and we're both hurting and we have each other and we're walking through this together, right? That's real life. In other words, answer number two is broaden your definition of intimacy. We live intimacy. We don't do intimacy. Intimacy is you and me, heart shared, real you and me walking through this together, okay? Which reminds me that we're pushing on this whole abiding thing because that's our topic. But legitimately, TCB and abiding are both still important. Practically speaking, this intimate thing is not where you're going to be spending most of your time. You got to live at TCB to function, you know? You know those couples who are both abiders And they all they do is spend their life gazing in loveliness at each other, you know, and they've got like this ratty house and six kids in dirty diapers and two rusty Volvos and nobody's running this love fest, you know, it's like, which is why a lot of us emotional connectors married these TCB problem solvers in the first place, because they feel so grounded compared to us, you know, and they provide structure and they make life feel safe. And then we resent them later on for being so unemotional. You know, oh my gosh, you can't connect. What's your problem? Like, I'm paying the bills. What do you want to connect about? You know? So the goal, by the way, is to be integrated, you know? The goal is to be able to stay grounded and solve problems, and on the other hand, be able to be connected and be intimate. The goal is Christ-likeness, all right? People always talk about personality types. You know, I'm a number one Enneagram or whatever. Like, that's just it. Oh, well, glad to meet you. I guess that's what you'll die as. No, the goal is to find your blind spots and grow there. If you're like, you know, not, I'm not, you know, I'm not one of those people who's really into emotional connection. I'm like, cool, get in therapy, you know? The goal is to is Christ as the model. How do we balance these things? So TCB needs to learn to grow in intimacy, and abiders need to learn to contain feelings and not just emote, you know. So another balance. Keep you in. Oh, it's already up there. Good. Remember we said last night, a lot of the connector types are sitting there listening, right on, this is a great one, this is a great talk, preach it, brother. But remember, our question is, what do we do with intimacy when we get it? Okay? Am I able to hold on to their love? Am I able to trust love? Intimacy is always like playing catch. Yeah, somebody needs to pitch the ball, but somebody's got to catch it. All right? And both of those need to be working. And some relationships have an intimate abider throw in all this relationship at you, but the other person doesn't hold it and trust it and connect with it. You know that guy who said, women need 5 meaningful touches a day to know that they're loved? I'm like, okay, that's fine and all, but I do wonder, what'd she do with the first 4? You know? I mean, how many, is it 3 meaningful touches not enough? It's got to be 5, not 6. I mean, what does she do with love when she gets it? So how much reassurance do we need? And us abiders need to take responsibility for that. Part of intimacy is about sharing, and part of intimacy is about trusting and being grounded and managing my own emotional stuff myself, with my safe people, with my God. Otherwise, we can start to come across in a way that's kind of needy or urgent or demanding, and that sounds like a need our TCB spouse is supposed to meet, and then something starts to happen. We start a dance. Well, let me talk about this for a second. This is key. If you want to understand marriage, and if you want to understand marriage problems, or romantic relationships, or dating problems, you got to understand that marriage problems are not ever a cause-effect relationship. It's not cue ball hits the 8 ball in the corner pocket. All right? Marriage problems are a cycle. They're like that water cycle you learn about in sixth grade science. You know, water evaporates, and then it condensates, and then it precipitates, and it goes around in a cycle. Marriage problems are like this. I do A, which kind of makes you do B, which makes me do A a little more, and makes you do B a little bit twice as bad. And it's a cycle. The more I do A, the more you do B, and around we go. I saw this couple the other day, and she basically wants to have a voice in the marriage and experiences him as kind of controlling. Now, she speaks out her mind. I don't think that's a good idea. Now, he gets threatened by that, feels like she's saying in essence he's stupid and doesn't know what he's doing. So he gets angry and pushes back on her, which she goes, aha, see, you are controlling, which makes her say her position next time a little louder, which makes it all the easier for him to say, wow, that had some real punch to it. She really is criticizing me, which makes him more controlling. You get it? And we're off the races. That's a dance, all right? So let's talk about some dances with intimacy, all right? It's kind of like dances with wolves, but without the Indians, all right? Tatanka. All right, a lot of times you can get a real abider married to a real TCBer, which very, very often happens, as I've said. And again, this is a continuum. Nobody's one or the other. But let's say the abider comes with all these feelings and all these needs. I'm afraid of this and I wish that and I'm sad about that. All these emotions. Now, what does TCB Elvis say? Well, why don't you take up jogging? Or give me the phone. I'll tell her where she can put her carpool. You know, in other words, who cares how you feel about this? Let's solve the problem, right? Now, by the way, why do they do that? Is that because they're a jerk or is that because they don't care about you? No, because that's what level 3 is all about, remember? Problem solving. That's the level at which they're relating. So if you're coming to a level 3 problem solving person communicating something about emotional connection, they no habla, okay? No speak of the language. This program has performed an illegal operation and we'll be shut down, okay? They go into brain lock, all right? And that's because you're relating to two different universes, and we got to get you realizing that so you can try to find a universe in the middle. It's not that you're bad people. Anyway, abider wants all this intimacy and connection, and TCBer wants to solve problems and be done with that. In fact, TCBers, just so you'll know, you have an emotional need to feel like you've solved the problem. In other words, your desire to fix is coming out of, you're like, I don't have all these emotions. Yeah, your emotion is, I need to fix this problem and feel like I'm good at doing it. Okay, that is an emotional need. Anyway, but all that problem solving doesn't feel really good to abider, so they ain't very happy. So what do they start doing? They start demanding closeness from Elvis or criticizing him for being such a distant flatliner, you know? Instead of getting married, you should just hire a maid. Living with you is like living with an android, which of course just woos him to her. Okay. Actually, to problem solving Elvis, you're saying the worst thing you could possibly say to a problem solver. They're a failure. They're doing bad at what they're trying to do. Okay. So you're not happy with their performance. So what does Elvis do now? What does TC Beer do now? And here's our dance continuing. They do the last thing that abider wants. They withdraw more. They're on the golf course. They're getting the heck out of Dodge. So now Priscilla feels really abandoned emotionally. All right? He's on Timbuk. And she's like, you know, so she gets more critical. He starts to withdraw more. And that's one of the common dances for intimate issues called the approach avoider dance. Now, one of the things we'll talk about next talk, too, is you got to learn your dances. Everybody's got them. Okay, one of the things I do in premarital is I want you to get married knowing what your dances are now because you're going to dance them the rest of your life, all right? Now, what do we need to do? Yeah, let's talk about growth here. TCBers and abiders, we both need to grow. Let's start with TCBers. TCBers, number one. Learn to see the relational world as valid. I hope you're getting that point here today. A lot of guys feel like if they're going to be emotionally connected, it means like, you know, they got to like open up on the golf course, you know, like, guys, I got this aching void within me, man. You know, it's like, no, you know. Or TCB ladies, you know, they're just like, oh, fine, let's just don't solve the problem. Let's just emote. That's fine. Go ahead. You know, which is really tender, all right? No, all intimacy means is you're not alone. It's not good for the man to be alone, you know. And to us guys, there's a lot of talk nowadays about how men are into achieving and goal attaining and women are into intimacy and, you know, relating. And there's some validity to that, but don't buy the whole enchilada, all right? Think about how did all this marriage stuff begin? I mean, did God come to Adam and say, hey, Adam, look, I know you're just fine with your mountain bike and your ESPN, but I'm going to make this woman, all right? And she's going to need a lot, all right? And you're going to have to learn to communicate your feelings, and you're going to have to learn communication skills. But look, we've been through a lot, Adam. Do this for me. No, God comes to Adam, and he says, I see what massive level of need you are in. It's not good for the man to be alone. Intimacy and relationship, guys, was created for how emotionally needy dudes are. God made a helper suitable for him. Okay, so to the degree that any of us, man or woman, aren't in a position of feeling the longing for that, then we're in some ways out of step with the rest of the universe and how God created us to function. And there will be fruit of that somewhere else in your life. Loneliness, depression, some sort of acting out, something like that. So, TCBers, if you don't care about all that closeness thing, see that as a problem. Listen to your spouse if they're telling you that. All right. We all have blind spots. Second message to TCBers is learn to be with. Then we talked about with last night when I got off on my rant about grieving and pain. As we said, what do TCBers think they need to do when someone has a problem? They have to fix it. They have to change it. They have to make it better, which is overwhelming to anyone. This person who's always emoting and I have to swing in and fix it and make it all better, for crying out loud. Ugh. All right? Good news. You don't have to fix it. All right? Let me give you a simple model I like to use with parenting or in marriage or with people who are thinking about counseling stuff for making sense of how to be with someone else when they are hurting. There are three places we can be with people when they are hurting. I call them blow off, fix, and with. Blow off, obviously, you share your heart and I kind of, whatever. Fix, I'm going to try to make it all better. With is about I get it. With is about I love you. With is about I am with you. All right? So let's try this with kids. Your kid, you know, hates their supper. Blow off says, well, get over it, kid. Think about the starving children in India. All right? Fix is, well, baby, we're just going to order you Domino's then. Make it all better, baby. With is, oh, you hate your supper. Well, happens to the best of us, pal. I care. I remember not liking some suppers that my mom would make. But, you know, as they say on TV, it's what's for dinner. All right? But I care. I get it, man. And I'm just with you. Somebody loses someone through death. Blow off is, well, you know they're in a better place. God works all things together for good. What a witness your family is being to everybody else. Ugh. All right? Fix is, tell you what, after the funeral, let's go, you know, have a party. All right? We'll get over this. With is, I love you, man. I don't know what to say. We're going to walk through this with you. I got your back. We're going to walk through this. Got me? All right. That's why there's nothing. You don't want to say at funerals? Because there's not really much you can say at a funeral. What they need is for you to be with them. Did you hear my heart just downshift into, I'm just with you? That's what with sounds like. So, same with your spouse. They bring their heart. I'm so upset. So-and-so happened at work. And you say, baby, oh my gosh. God, are you kidding me? That would feel so awful. You did all that work and then they get the credit. And how can I give to you? I'm so with you. What do you need? Now what they'll say is, nothing. I just wanted you to know. I just wanted you with me. Okay? Get it? All right. Mischief managed. All right? Love accomplished. You're done. See? High five. It's easy. TC Beers. You don't have to go fix it. God's favorite preposition, with. Had a TCB guy ask me at a conference. He goes, yeah, but what if her feelings are wrong? Like, let me guess which one you are. But he said, she says everybody in the church hates her. And that's just not true. Okay, it's a good question. Truly, most of our pathological or wounded feelings are incorrect. But in order to get someone out of them, they have to be heard first. You can't change an emotion until it's heard and connected with first. Remember, it's got to come out of aloneness and into connection. That's why therapy works. You keep hearing me say that. Once an emotion is heard and they feel understood and that you're with, then you can swing back later and say, you know, babe, I've learned some things that might mitigate against that feeling you're having about the church, if you want to hear them on her terms. Okay? So, TCBers, fight against that need to fix. And it is an emotional need you have. By the way, this is curious. Husbands tend to be the worst at fixing things for their wives. But those wives tend to be the very mothers who are the worst at fixing things for their children. Go figure. Abiders, what do we need to learn? Number one, can we make room for intimacy that's not particularly on our terms, just the way we want it? Okay, intimacy for them might be just hanging out and being quiet. Intimacy for them might be reading in the same room. Can I respect them if they don't want to go to intimacy that looks just like what I think it is? If what we're wanting is intimacy, which means real you, then real them might want to just hang out and watch TV together. Okay, can we make room for who they really are? Abiders. In other words, just because they don't want to sit sort of knee to knee and connect doesn't mean they're emotional zombies, all right? Maybe connection for them means something else. In other words, our terms matter and their terms matter, which is mutuality, which, as we said, is as important as intimacy, okay? There it is. Chris Rock said, he's my favorite Reformed theologian, if you hadn't picked up on that. Chris Rock says, when your woman says, I wish we talked more, what she means is, I wish I talked more and you just sat there and listened to me, all right? Which is why a lot of our TCB spouses don't, you know, get us. I always joked, I had a wife and three girls, okay? I lived with four women, all right? They talked constantly. I always wanted one of those, you know those line judges in tennis, those guys who just can go, quiet, please. And the whole place just shuts down. Like, I like that guy. I want one of those. Quiet, please. That's what I want for Christmas. Another growth point for connectors is share your feelings, but remember they're your feelings. This is going to touch the fourth eye a lot. In other words, it's cool to share your heart, but remember your feelings or your reactions or whatever are your responsibility, not your spouse's. What that sounds like is this. Instead of saying, I feel lonely in our marriage, Trojan virus implication there being, what are you going to do about it? Change it. Make it better. Take me to dinner. You know, whatever. Because I'm lonely. Okay? Instead, responsibility says, you know what, I'm feeling really lonely in our relationship, and I just want you to know and be with me in it. I'm trying to figure out what it's about. It might be me. I'm talking to my body of Christ people about it to figure out what the deal is, but I wanted you to know and be with me in it, and maybe help me figure it out. Do you hear the responsibility? You hear how different that is? This is keep you in, okay? This feels so good to your problem solver abider spouse who otherwise would feel like you're just dumping another problem at their doorstep to fix, which is going to make them defensive and then they're going to pull away and cue the dance again. Okay? Marriage stereotype is those of us who connect really get it, and I wonder when that other, you know, problem solver is going to finally get a clue and understand intimacy. And I hope I'm making the point to you that we abider connectors really have an enormous responsibility for what we do with our emotions, what we do with trust, what we do with that whole emotional end of the marriage. So TCBers have a great point, all right? There's growth for both here. Another way of saying this is the goal of intimacy is for you to be known, not for your spouse to make you feel better, all right? We abiders need to know that. So share your feelings, but you may be lonely for 100 reasons, none of which may have anything to do with your spouse. It may be baggage you brought with you into the marriage, all right? Another way of saying this is sharing your feelings is not the same as doing your feelings, all right? I yell at you and freak out in anxiety. I am just sharing my feelings, all right? No, you're not. I'm feeling kind of scared about your job. Is real different from, oh my gosh, we're gonna live in a trailer. I'm just sharing my feelings. No, you're not. You're like fire hosing your feelings, all right? There's a difference. And that would so tip your TCB spouse off and you're off to the races again, off to the dances again. All right, lastly, this is applicable to us abiders big time because we feel the need more. But it's applicable to every blind spot we've talked about. I touched on it last night, but you got to have other resources in your life, all right? I know so many of you long for a greater intimacy in your marriage, and I know one of the most painful things there is to be in a marriage in which you long for more connection and it's not there. And I hope one of the things we've made very clear this morning is it's important for both parties to be growing toward greater intimacy. But there's more to the story than that. This is a cultural no-no to say it, but heck, here I go. Marriage was never intended to be the sole resource for meeting my life's needs for intimacy. Well, some kind of intimacy, okay? God created us to have deep sharing with our spouses, yes. But if you think about it, the New Testament talks a whole lot more about intimacy and oneness and abiding within the body of Christ than it does between spouses. And our culture, even our Christian culture, turns marriage into this ultimate fount of all of my needs. And we have got to be sure to have that cute little couple time. And that's where we grow and we thrive. And that is cultural. God doesn't say that. What he says is, in the body, love one another, come to one another, bear with one another, confess to one another, be one in the body. Okay, but since our culture has lost that since the Industrial Revolution, and now our culture gossips too much, and we advise too much, and we judge each other too much, and we're not safe to be a body where we grow, unless we start thinking as a body, hey, how can we become safer? So they invent things like therapy or small groups, which are great. But then we turn marriage into this special place that I'm supposed to get all of my needs met. Okay? No wonder we're disappointed. And no wonder singles are freaking out and saying, oh my gosh, what if I never get married? I'll miss out on the fount of wonder. Alright, so to echo what we... What? Your marriage isn't the fount of wonder? Mine is. What? Fount of wonder. That's what I call it. So, to echo what we said last night, in order for your marriage to work, you have to have rich, abiding, truth-telling people in our lives outside of our marriage, people who are safe, people who are wise. We can talk about finding those people, but we need them in the background in order to have a good marriage. Otherwise, what we get is, I'm trying to get all my emotional needs met by you, and guess what? You're trying to get all your emotional needs met by me, and we're both kind of feeding off each other, and who's going to get what they need? And I call that phenomenon, at least in Mississippi we call it, two ticks and no dog. All right? So if you want a better marriage, be looking for these kind of relationships, okay? Now, abiders, what happens when we have these? We get all sorts of goodies. We get kind of filled up when we come home without all that urgency and needfulness, and we don't trigger our TCB spouses often, and the dance doesn't start. So I'm leaving work one day, and I'm exhausted, and I'm mad, and dealing with an insurance company, and I'm like just need to rant and be pitiful, and I'm thinking, I catch myself thinking, I can't wait to get home and tell Norma all about this. She's going to really want to hear about my hard day. And I'm like, you know, right. Those of us who are about to die salute you. So I stopped by my buddy's office, my coworker, Jim Brown. He and I have decided we're going to be safe people in each other's lives. Like, we had a conversation, dude, let's like give to each other, hold each other accountable, love on each other. Are we good with that? You want to do that? Yeah. Anyway, so I stop in his office and I'm sitting on his couch. You know, one of the perks of working with a mental health professional. And then we're in his office, the phone rings and it's my wife. And he picks up the phone and he goes, yeah, it's Jim. Yeah, he's right here. He's on my couch. I'm doing therapy on you. He'll be home later. Anyway, I came home like so filled up and so given to, and the dance didn't start. All right. So, TCBers, we need your stability, but we also want you learning the validity of the heart and the legitimacy of the emotional world. But us level four abiders, and here we got a good dance starting, we're also saying, oh, I care about your heart back, which means I'm going to be owning my responsibility for my own feelings and saying, hey, I don't need you to fix this for me. Just want to share it, okay? And TCB here is learning about just being with, doesn't need to fix. And both are growing closer to each other until we have mutuality as well as intimacy, all right? Now, let's take a break and come back and... At 25 after. That gives 12 minutes or so. And we'll do another talk, then we'll take another break, then we'll do Q&A.